It's now time for the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club on Spirit Catholic Radio. As we open the Bible, let God's Word feed the soul.
Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant, whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and eats and drinks with the drunken, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will punish him, and put him with the hypocrites. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him! Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There, men will weep and gnash their teeth.
Truth and Life Dramatized Audio Bible Version of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, starting at verse 25, and then the first 30 verses of chapter 25. The Bibles are open. The Good Book Club is on the air. We're glad you're here with us for our Bible study. I'm Bruce McGregor, along with Jen Brown. And Jen, we're delighted to have with us again the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, joining us for our discussion of these wonderful verses today. Deacon, good morning and welcome to you.
Thank you, Bruce and Jen. It's great to be with you again, as always. Lots to cover today.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
We could do a show on any one of these parables. Right?
I know. We could do an hour on each one of these. You're a powerful and passionate evangelist and preacher, and so we're going to need your help. So we start one as the end of chapter 24, the parable of the faithful and unfaithful servant.
Yeah, so the body's natural tendency is to be awake during the day and sleep at night, right? But there are those nurses, police officers, firemen who have to be up at night. And it's absolutely critical that they do so, that they remain awake and alert and ready to respond, because they never know the day or the hour they'll be called into service. And Christ's point is that the coming of the Lord into our lives is the same way. The things we look for, the problem is we look for earthly signs that lull us to sleep spiritually. You know, we can't put our trust in, you know, unapproved apparitions or false prophets or trying to find these different things in different books of the Bibles, the end times and all of that. You know, what we have to do is keep watch over our hearts and our souls and our lives in faithful anticipation of Christ's return, which will occur not at the end, which will occur at the end of the world, but we don't know when that's going to happen. Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour. But at the end of our world, when we come face to face with death, that's what Christ says we have to be prepared for. And being prepared for that doesn't mean focusing on the things that are important in this life, but focusing on deepening our intimacy and relationship with the Lord, seeing everything through in our lives through that lens. And so we have to be awake and alert for the coming of our Lord at any time in our lives.
Right. And Deacon Harold, as we look at these particular verses that we are checking today, we're finding, A, that we're continuing to get parables from Jesus and a lot of comparing and contrasting. And we have the parable now of the wise and foolish maidens. Bring your oil and bring your lamp and some extra oil wherever you go.
Yeah, so Jesus always, most of the time, spoke in parables, right? Because very simple people, agrarian culture. So stories and was the way to make a point about an important teaching about God. And so in this one, he's talking here about the Nisuin, which is the second part of the wedding feast. So the first part was the actual ceremony with the rabbi and the bride and the groom and the witnesses, called the Shoshbim. And then after the ceremony, the woman would go back to live with her parents, and the man would go to build and create a home for them to live together. And then the second part is when the male Shoshbim, or what we call the best man today, would come and make the announcement, the bridegroom is coming. And then all the preparations would be made for the second part of the ceremony called the Nisuin, and then after that they partied for 7 days. So they would have understood the context. Oh yeah, we know about this. And then Jesus is saying, okay, he uses a wedding to describe the relationship between God and his people, where Christ the bridegroom and the 10 virgins represent the disciples, all of us who are waiting for the return of the king, just like they were waiting for the return of the bridegroom. But so some will be prepared for that coming of Christ and some will not. The fact that all the virgins were drowsy and fell asleep shows that preparing to meet the Lord is a long-term endeavor, right? We're in this for the long game, right?
Right.
And so we have to do things now to prepare for the coming of the Lord into our lives. So what are the foolish virgins? The foolish virgins, what do they sound like in our culture today? All I have to do is be a good person, I'll get to heaven. I have better things to do with my time than go to church, like watch the football game. there's no such thing as a devil or hell. Satan is just a symbol or a literary device. You know, for the foolish, they think they can get to the heaven with an easy pass. You know, like you have in your car. And so the return of the bridegroom fills them with anxiety and dismay. And they're going to run off at the last minute of their lives and try to make everything right and pray that the door to the wedding feast of heaven is going to be open to them. But we see that the Lord, you know, that they're rolling the dice here, you know. The fact is that some people will not make it. Everybody thinks they're going to get there, but Jesus is very clear that all of us will not get there, right? And so who are the wise virgins, the poor in spirit who shall inherit the earth, Christ says, and when Christ comes at the end of our lives? The wise who are the pure of heart, who will see God at the end of their life on earth. The wise don't go with the flow of the culture, but are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and knowing that their home is not here on earth, that they're just pilgrims here, that our real home is the kingdom of heaven. So they do everything in their lives now to prepare for that second coming, so they'll be ready when the Lord does come.
Deacon Harold Brooks-Sivers, share with us what this preparation is, because salvation history denotes to us that God died on the cross, that Jesus died on the cross, and God opened the gates of heaven for all of us. So that gift is a gift for us to receive, and we don't have to do anything for it. So then what is Jesus talking about here? What is this oil? What does this mean that he's saying, you know, not everybody is going to get there?
So the oil is sacrificial love and service, right?
Right.
It's not transferable, because remember, he said, well, there may not give us some of your oil. Well, may not be enough for us. So it's the individual. So right. So you can't compare your sins with someone else. You can't compare your life with someone else. God is going to judge you and your individual life, not comparing it to the life of someone else. So my preparedness to meet the Lord is something that is ultimately my responsibility. So no one can say yes to, now, of course, our parents say yes when we get baptized as babies, right? They say yes to Christ on my behalf, but that initiates us into the life of Christ. But then we get to a point where it's my decision to take what was given by my parents and by the church and to live that out in my life every day. So while the foolish virgins went off to make up for lost time and for wasted time of their lives, those who were ready went to the wedding hall and the door was locked. So the door being closed means that access to Jesus is not automatic and should not be taken for granted, because every action of our lives has to be directed toward its ultimate end, which is what? Union with God forever in heaven.
Yes, Deacon. So who are the wise virgins in this parable?
Yeah, so the wise virgins I mentioned are the poor in spirit, right? Those are the ones who actually take the time to focus on the things that are important in life, that have Jesus Christ as the heart and the center of their life, where every action and every decision flows from a heart that's united with God's heart, with a mind that is connected with God's mind. You know, our will and God's holy will are one. And we live from that. We don't pay just lip service to it. We actually live from that. So we're making important decisions in our lives. We're making choices in our lives. When we're thinking about relating with people, we're thinking about serving the poor. We're, you know, we're actually doing the things that God is calling us to do joyfully and willingly, uniting our wills, our hearts, and our lives with God's. Those are the ones who are wise, because those are the ones that are going to walk through that narrow gate that Christ talks about. If we focus on the things of the world, we're going to be like those foolish virgins and end up not spending our life forever in heaven with God, because at the end of our lives, God will give us what we most desired on earth.
And then we move into a parable of the talents, Deacon Harold Brooks-Sivers.
Oh, this is one of my absolute favorites. I love this one. So first of all, let's discuss what a talent is. So a talent is not a coin, because you would think, oh, he gave him 5 coins or 10 coins. No. A talent, or a kikarim in Aramaic, is actually a unit of measurement. So a talent was about 3,000 shekels. And if you think of it like... gold bars like at Fort Knox, you know, like those big gold bars, or in this case, in the time of Jesus, there would have been silver, actually. It would have been, so one talent in today's dollars is worth approximately $32,000. So
good chunk of change.
Wait a minute. So he gave the guy one talent. Wait a minute. That was worth a lot. So the point is, it doesn't matter how much you were given by God, what talents you were given. It matters what you do with what you were given. Again, we can't compare. Oh, he gave that guy all those gifts and talents. Like Deacon Harold gets to speak all over the world and write books. I wish I could do that. No, you worry about what God has given you, and you focus on multiplying the talents that he has given you for his glory, because there's a purpose and a reason why you were given the talents. And we have to cooperate with those gifts that God has given us. You know, and that's the main point of this time. We can't take what we're given and bury it in the ground. We have to be witnesses of God's love to the world. We have to multiply what we were given, you know, fivefold, tenfold, fiftyfold. Why? Because God is a wise investor. He's invested his life and his spirit in each and every one of us. And like any investor, he expects a return on that investment. Because what was the ultimate investment? His son's life on the cross. That was the ultimate investment. And so we have to follow in that same way of thinking. So that's the point, that we have to take what we're given and multiply that, not for our glory, but for the glory of God.
Right. Now, Deacon Harold, who might be the master in all of this? Because we see the servant that didn't do anything with the talent that he was given, saying, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, and he gives it back to him. And this does not go so well for this particular servant.
Yeah, see, because the master is God the Father, right? And sometimes we live our lives thinking, oh, God, you know, I'm going to do this on my terms. I know you were, God, I know that you're a God of, you know, we're supposed to fear the Lord and all these kinds of things. And, you know, but I was afraid to follow you, Lord, because people might ridicule me. I was afraid to stand up for life because I might be rebuked at work. You know, I was afraid to stand up for the truth, because people, I might lose some friends or even some family members. See, so we make excuses, even though it's difficult, for not standing up for the Father. And then we will be given our reward based on how we use those gifts, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. So the question becomes, how do we prevent this? How do we become those faithful servants?
And Harold Burke-Sivers, that those individuals would be thrown into the darkness. So those who jealously guard what they have been given, hoard God's gifts, will be thrown into the darkness. So how do we prevent this?
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a couple things. First, God gives each person different gifts. So despite our tendencies, like I said, to compare ourselves with others, which actually leads to jealousy and envy, the actual number and the quantity of gifts is not important. God asks that we make full use of what we've been uniquely given, and that use them for the benefit and the enrichment of the church and of our brothers and sisters. That's the first thing. The second thing is recognize that our work is never completed. When the first two servants showed how much they had earned, they couldn't just sit back and relax. So, well, since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you greater responsibilities. You see? So even though they fulfilled what God has given, all that means is now you get more to do. Because of their trustworthiness, even greater obligations were given to them. Why? Because God can reach more souls through them for his glory. That's awesome. And I think about the saints. This is exactly what they did. They cooperated in such an amazing way with God's will in their lives. God was able to really transform cultures, to start religious orders, to start schools and hospitals, because they were so generous with the gifts that they were given. And then thirdly, the one will be punished is the one who does nothing, right? The guy with the one talent loses it because he did nothing out of fear. If he had tried, to multiply that talent and failed, he would have been met with understanding and compassion and forgiveness. But see, if he would have made an effort to do something and failed, at least he tried. But he gets punished because he didn't do anything. He didn't even try. That's the point there. We have to not be afraid to use what we're given. And then finally, to the one who has more will be given, but for one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This seems unfair, but Jesus is saying that those who generously share their gifts are likely to find themselves always enriched, right? Those who save their lives will lose it. Those who generously share what they have with others will give themselves away in love, right? And find themselves in God. And that's the point.
Thank you so much, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, for helping us through those very interesting and poignant parables that God has given us. And we love having you on the Good Book Club, and we look forward to your return. Can you give us a blessing, a diaconate blessing for our day?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Boy, I still remember having him in Omaha. What a fun time that was.
Awesome.
You can find out information on his website, the Dynamic Deacon, sought-after speaker in the Catholic Church. He's a powerful and passionate evangelist and preacher. No-nonsense approach to living and proclaiming the gospel. He challenges and inspires you.
Using his talents.
He is definitely using his talents. The Good Book Club is heard Monday through Friday on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.